Supporters of the so-called good cause legislation, which restricts rent increases and narrowly defines eviction justifications, recently descended on the Capitol en masse to get the progressive measure through the Capitol before the scheduled end of session on June 2nd. But the bill, along with a number of other high-profile far-left priorities, appears to be on the fast train to nowhere in Albany. To discuss this controversial housing bill, including why it's stalling with Democratic majorities in both houses of the legislature, we're checking in with Keith Wright, who was previously the chair of the Housing Committee in the Assembly and is currently the Democratic leader for Manhattan and director of strategic planning at Davidoff, Hutcher & Citron, a commercial law and government relations firm in New York. Welcome back to the show, Suleiman.
Well, thank you, Dave. It's been a while. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, so was a version of this quote-unquote good cause eviction legislation kicking around the Capitol before you retired in 2016, or is this something that's only come into our, I guess, public discourse in the last couple of years?
When I was, in the Assembly, we had a lot of housing bills, and some of which I sponsored, for example, to get rid of something called preferential rent. We had bills that would stop rent increases of over, 5%, that sort of thing. The housing issues have been so volatile and so personal to so many people, especially in the city of New York over the years. The issues kind of evolve, and especially coming out of the pandemic, thus we see this good cause eviction bill.
Well, considering your background as the former chair of the Assembly's Housing Committee, what do you think of the merits of this type of a proposal? Is this something that is logistically feasible? Is it something that's pie-in-the-sky policy? What's sort of your impression of it?
Especially coming out of the pandemic, I've learned that there are at least 7 sides to every story. Tenants, especially in New York City, have been suffering. People have lost jobs, and people haven't worked and such, and some people working from home, maybe not making as much money as they could have and such. So I think that, you have a lot of folks that want to, redefine whatever's in the law what is a good cause to evict. As we all know, there have been a lot of landlords who have evicted some folks that necessarily not been defined as a good reason. How many times have I heard people say that, I paid my rent and landlord just wants me out and not providing any services and such. And our housing courts were full of a lot of people. And what I found is sometimes arbitrary and capricious sort of evictions. However, now coming out of the pandemic, where you have a lot of landlords who have not been getting their rent, who have not been getting the money that they need in order to keep their building services running, they have to find some way in order to keep their buildings afloat. And if I'm not mistaken, this bill only affects buildings, 4 units or less? Does that sound right?
Yeah, so it's, I think, 4 or more at this point, right?
4 or more, four or more units, which is most of the buildings in New York City. But, the landlords, they need a lot of relief as well. And with people getting back to work, there's a presumption that people can now pay rent. I'm sure a lot of folks have been getting used to not paying rent and maybe being subsidized by some of the federal programs. However, with this so-called good cause eviction, I don't see it going anywhere, both on the landlord side and both on the tenant side at this moment in time.
Yeah, so there are just a handful of days left on the legislative calendar, and the bill is in the committee process still in both houses of the legislature, hasn't received a vote in either committee process. Why do you think that is? Is it just because there isn't enough support for it, where it wouldn't have the votes? Is it because there are powerful interests in either houses? What is it that keeps this from even getting a committee vote?
It's probably all of the above. It's probably all of the above. It's probably powerful interests on both sides, number one. Yeah, it's a big, big political issue. It's something that has to be, I guess, really, really vetted carefully. You got to remember, when I was up there in Albany, I mean, it took us 12 years to get rid of the Rockefeller drug laws. It took us, I don't know, about 16 years to approve medical marijuana. So this is, I guess, somewhat akin to one of those big ticket items. And then you have to make sure that the political winds are at the back of whomever wants to do this bill. As I said, I don't see it passing this year, but, you know, I never say never when it comes to Albany.
For listeners just joining us, we're talking about the political chances of legislation that would cap rent increases in New York and narrowly define eviction justifications. And our guest is Keith Wright, who previously chaired the Housing Committee in the Assembly and is currently the Democratic leader for Manhattan and director of strategic planning at Davidoff, Hutcher & Citron, a commercial law and government relations firm in New York. Well, I'm struck by the fact that the chair of the Housing Committee in the Assembly, Jeffrey Dinowitz, is a co-sponsor of this bill, and the bill is sitting in his committee, but it doesn't actually ever come up for a committee vote. So what does that tell us about, I guess, the internal workings of the chamber? Does the chair not necessarily have control over what bills they might get to consider, or does that speak to his potential level of interest or support in the bill?
Don't know. Can't say. It could be a lot of things.
Well, what was your experience like?
I mean, possibly some political folks are looking at saying that politically this may not be the best time to pass this and such. But the chair has total discretion as to what bills come out of his committee. I mean, if people advise him not to do it, but the chair does have control.
That was your experience leading a committee?
Oh, yeah. Oh, if I wanted a bill to come out of committee, I would get it out of committee. I don't know if there are any penalty or any statutes involved, penalties involved with the good cause eviction. I'm sure there are, and then it would probably go to the codes committee. But at this point, everything has to go through the rules committee because we're in the last days of the legislative session.
Well, because we've heard from lawmakers, your former colleague, Assembly Health Committee Chair Dick Gottfried, that on certain issues, like in his case, the New York Health Act, there are members who are signed on to the bill, who say they publicly support it, and then he said that they are behind the scenes working against these very bills, maybe because they're too controversial or because they're worried about the practical implications of it. Do you think that's something that could be sidelining good cause? Could people who say they're supporting it?
It could very well be. I just don't know. As you know, I have not been up to Albany in 5 years.
But it wouldn't surprise you.
But that could very well be. It could very well be the case that there are folks that are, sometimes you just want to put your name on a bill just to, appease someone. But then, and knowing that there may not be a good chance for it to pass, but to show people that you're working on an issue. I don't know if that's the case here. However, I will tell you, stranger things have happened.
I mentioned at the top of our introduction that this issue was the focus of protests in May, which brought more than 100 people to the Capitol, led to some arrests. Does that kind of public activism have a positive or negative influence on lawmakers?
It depends on what side of the issue you're on. I can recall being arrested myself right after Amadou Diallo was shot back in 1999 when he was shot 41 times. I can recall being escorted out of the Capitol a couple of times because we were trying to bring light to an issue. So, if you're for the bill, I think it does put a positive light. If you're against the bill, it helps you to figure out who's for you and who's against you.
So it sounds like you think it really just makes people reinforced in their positions. It doesn't sound like it maybe has the effect.
Yeah, I don't know if it convinces,
people. But
yes, I think it does. Yeah, I mean, when you have public protests and such, especially when you have arrests, especially if it's done by constituents and people that you know, it brings an issue to light and brings an issue to a forefront, and it makes you reexamine it, whether you're for or against.
So assuming this legislation doesn't move before the scheduled end of session, which is June 2nd, do you think good cause eviction will have a better chance in 2023 if progressive and even socialists are successful in knocking off some incumbent Democrats in the primaries, and they're able to grow their numbers in Albany?
Well, everything is political in Albany, and I would imagine if there are folks that get elected that are predisposed to running and supporting this bill, that would certainly give the bill a big boost. I have not heard. I don't know if there are people that are running on this good cause eviction bill, but I would imagine that there probably will be, and it could be made an issue. And if it's a big issue in campaigns, especially this election cycle, it could become a big issue the next legislative session.
And this is an issue that's really divided Democrats in the legislature, especially the new versus some of the older members. For example, Assemblymember Michael Benedetto, a Bronx Democrat who you served with, had put out on Twitter at one point that he was going to review the bill. And every so often in the wake of that, a newer member, Senator Jabari Brisport, a Brooklyn Democrat, will tweet at Benedetto and say, oh, have you had a chance to read the bill yet? Have you had a chance to read the bill yet? Does that kind of, I guess, antagonism or pressure represent something new in the chamber? Or was there that kind of, I guess, public calling out back in your day?
Well, back in my day, I think we were very collegial, although we did have vast disagreements with people. But we were very collegial, and it was not disagreements were not really done in public and such. Although you do have Mr. Brisport, I think, is a senator, mm-hmm. and Mr. Benedetto is in the assembly. So usually we just did not have that kind of discourse. Usually we tried to take care of it in a more collegial manner. And when we would debate bills on the floor, we'd call each other everything but a child of God. And I can remember a very heated exchange with then-Senator Balboni and myself regarding, I call it the prison rape bill and such, all those persons that were, all those persons, I guess, all, that were inmates in prisons. Any sort of contact with them, sexual contact, would be considered rape. And that was my bill, and Mr. Balboni was against it, and I was, we're trying to pass the bill, and it did pass, and it was subjected to two hostile amendments. However, as I said, we had a rather heated exchange, and then we went out to dinner afterwards that night. So it was definitely more collegial. I don't know. Some of that seems to have been lost in these more recent legislative sessions.
Well, unfortunately, we're going to have to leave it there. We've been speaking with Keith Wright. He is currently the Democratic leader for Manhattan, and he is the director of strategic planning at Davidoff, Hutcher & Citron, a commercial law and government relations firm in New York. Keith, thank you so much for making the time. I really appreciate it.
Thanks, Dave. No, my pleasure. Please call again anytime.
Support for the Capitol Press Room is provided by the New York State AFL-CIO, a federation of 3,000 unions fighting for working people by keeping New York State union strong. UnionStrongNY.com for more information.